Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience, but we are super excited to be back after a week off for a really, really good reason. And that reason was the wedding of two incredible young Jewish people, truly inspiring India McFarland, now Ligum, to Shai Ligum in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Boy, oh boy, it was absolutely an incredible event. I'm not even sure how to describe it, except that the venue was stunning. The reason why we were there is because India's 99-year-old grandmother lives near there and could not travel, so the wedding was set for there. There's a very poignant as well, is that sadly, both of India's parents died when she was a teenager, and they were married at this very same venue on St. Simon's Island, the King and Prince Resort. You could look it up. Looks like a good place. I'm not sure where you're going to get kosher food. We had to ship ours in from Orlando. But it was absolutely stunning and a very, very powerful wedding. And I think the reason is that this young couple took the preparations extremely seriously, learning what does it mean to be a Jewish husband, a Jewish wife, what a Jewish marriage is. And they studied intensely and fulfilled all of the halachot of the Jewish law that was incumbent upon them. And when you go in for the Almighty and you go in for His Torah, it has a mystical effect. I cannot tell you how many people came up to them and me saying what an incredible service is. Now, it is an incredible service, nothing to do with yours truly, although I do like to think that I do a mean play-by-play of what's going on. But nevertheless, the service in of itself is powerful. But it's nothing as powerful as what it was unless this young couple would have stepped up. And that's really what we're doing here at Olami 613. We're doing our best to inspire young people to dig in to our 3,800-year-old tradition that's alive and well. And I have to say, and I've spoken to the young couple about this as well afterwards, then we're back in Chicago, had Sheva Brachas for them this past Shabbos, and we were all reflecting on the wedding, how the traditional Orthodox wedding with a mechitza, with literally a cloth pipe and drape in between the men and women, was the most popular part of the dancing. And then later on, when the DJ was playing his disco stuff, it was, you know, not so well attended. People were blown away. I had several people come up to me and wanted to convert to Judaism. I told them, it's very flattering and very honored, you know, that the service and the wedding meant so much to you, but don't worry, God loves all of His children. Find a good church and meaningful people there who want to grow as people, and you should start your search there. And again, Judaism, just as an aside, we are not a proselytizing religion. In fact, we discourage converts. Why? Because every non-Jew has an opportunity to get the next world. We're in this world traveling through to try to earn our place, hopefully a very close place to Hashem, in the next world. And so we believe fundamentally that non-Jews have that ability. There are seven mitzvos that they're obligated to do, and we have 613. So the reason why Judaism has never been a proselytizing religion is that we don't need to make them Jewish to get to the next world. And so therefore, we turn away converts until we're sure that they want it. Because as soon as they would convert, all the things that don't seem so bad to an average person, like eating a cheeseburger or, you know, water skiing on Saturday, if they decide that they are going to be Jewish and go through a halachic Orthodox conversion, then the moment they backslide, they will be held accountable to that. And this is why we don't go easy on conversions, not necessarily because of the exclusivity of the Jewish people, that may be a part of it, but it's really to protect the potential convert, that if we would just green light drive through these conversions and say that they're real, then guess what? They are real. And if they would not fulfill the Torah, commandments, they would be held accountable that for that forever and ever. And so therefore, it was very touching that I got several offers to convert. I think they just wanted Jewish men, to be honest, if I could be really truthful. I'd like to finish off the quick review of this wedding by just pointing out that this young couple had every reason to check out of the Jewish people, to check out of this glorious 3,800-year-old chain. In fact, the wedding of the bride's parents 37 years before was an intermarriage. It was a Jewish woman to a non-Jewish man, and from what I have heard, they were both spectacular, amazing people. Yet statistically, the children of intermarried couples really do not continue. Statistically, it's very, very few, even fewer than both parents Jewish. And so the fact that we were here 37 years later, after that wedding, to celebrate the forging of a new Jewish home dedicated to Hashem, to God, dedicated to being that next faithful link in the Jewish people and to raise a family, God willing, in Hashem's ways, is truly remarkable. It was an event that the Marcus family with us here at Olamei 613 and the Garfinkels, as well as two amazing families from the community, Yishai and Bluma Broner, I'll give them a shout out, as well as Ephraim and Aviva Valensky, who have both families invested tremendous amounts into this young couple. So I give them a blessing, all this young couple, that they should continue to grow and we should see them build a truly faithful home among the Jewish people. And now, folks, we are going to transition into the original fake news. Oh, actually, we're going to mention the Knicks. Did everyone see the Knicks thing? We're a little schmoozy here tonight. Everyone see the Knicks? They won on June 13th, 6-13. Pretty cool. The former head coach, Red Hochman, I think it was his name, who won two championships, coached the Knicks to two championships, had a lifetime total of games of 613, wins, not just matches that he played, and he won 613, and his number is retired in the rafters there in Madison Square Garden, and it is the number 613, and they won on June 13th. Pretty unbelievable that we know that the Jewish power of Torah and mitzvahs. So if you can imagine that it could cause the Knicks to win, you can imagine how powerful it really is in our own lives. All right, I thought that was just a cute little vignette. So let's dig in now, folks, to the original fake news. The original fake news. The Torah portion discusses Parsha Shlach that we just read in synagogue, talks about the Jewish people's desire to send spies into the land of Israel to check it out. Now, there's an issue, people. We have an issue. What's the issue? The issue is God had already said it's a good land. It's a good land. So if the Almighty tells you it's a good land flowing with milk and honey, and we know that God just wiped out the superpower of the era, Egypt, we know that God's hand is not too short. God can do anything. So armed with that personal experience that Hashem is totally powerful and all in control of everything, and the fact that God promised us that the land is a good land flowing with milk and honey, why would we not just go in? Why would we want to send spies to check it out? It's like the child at Hanukkah who, before he opens a very big box, which is a gift, he asks his parents, hey, mom, dad, do you have a gift receipt just in case? Just in case we need to return this. And what is that? That is chutzpah. That is chutzpah. Because you're not trusting what the other person said, that the gift that I'm giving you is good. And so the first mistake of these spies, 12 heads of the tribes, 10 of them ended up making the wrong choice and maligning the land of Israel. First, they used kind of true facts, but then they went off the rails and spoke slander about the land of Israel. So 10 out of 12 of them failed this test. Only two of them passed this test and were able to see the goodness of the land. And this is really shocking. And commentators scratch their head and come up with actually some very compelling reasons. But you have to understand, these were not 12 riffraff. These were the heads of the tribes that were assigned to go into the land of Israel to give a report. So Moshe sensed that something was off right away because the people came to him and asked, "We want to go check out the land." And he's like, "No." This is all according to the passage in Deuteronomy, where the scene is actually clarified. We get more information about the story. And Moshe decides to acquiesce. Even though he knows that the Jewish people should be on a higher level of faith and trust, nevertheless, seemingly Moshe makes the decision to let them send spies to the land of Israel to appease them. Because Moshe was so convinced that the Jewish spies, these heads of the tribes, would see the goodness of the land of Israel so clearly that they would have to come back with a good report. And that is where Moshe made a mistake, according to the commentators. Not for me to say. Is that Moshe did not realize that the spies had a false vision of reality. They had a false vision in belief in themselves. They did not believe that they were capable of defeating the local giant Canaanites, even though they saw all the miracles in Egypt. Why not? It's because they sensed that there was going to be a transition from the miraculous nature of the desert, you know, manna falling from heaven, a rock following the Jewish people, right? Providing water for everyone. It was miraculous. The clouds were like HVAC, you know, protecting them from the cold at night, from the heat at day. And then they realized that Israel, when they go into Israel, it's going to be different. We're going to have to do it ourselves. And their big mistake was that they didn't realize that even when we go to a natural existence of going to work, of clocking in 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 9 to 9 or whatever you clock in at, that the Almighty is still right there. They could not make that intellectual step to realize that just as the Almighty is with us in miraculously in the desert with manna and, you know, shoes that don't wear out and clouds of glory that protect us, so too Hashem works within the laws of nature to be able to provide for us. And they lost faith in themselves. And they lost faith in the Almighty. And folks, the two are inextricably linked. You know, out there today, I have no idea how people have self-esteem. And you see it. People are riddled with self-doubt, with lack of self-worth. And the question is why? It's because really, what makes someone valuable? If it's a three-point shot, if it's doing great on a report at school, if it's started making a successful startup. Well, let's say your startup, you know, loses money. So that means your whole worth is on the line. The only way, the only real basis of self-esteem that we're actually worth something is if we're made in God's image. And that is the correct vision of how to view human beings. And that is the correct vision that the spies left behind. And because they left that vision, they created what I would like to call the original fake news. What do I mean? Because Moshe was asking them questions. He said, "What is this land in general? What is it?" And it's clear that the land of Israel was good. They couldn't deny that. They said, "Yeah, it is good." And then Moshe asked them, "Is it strong or is it weak? The people who live there, are they strong or are they weak?" Well, Moshe wanted them to say that, to show that the, say that the people were strong, which they were. Why? Because Moshe said that then they'll realize that when they live there, that they will be strong too. But because the spies had lost their moorings, their self-confidence and their confidence in Hashem, they had fake news glasses on and they perceived the world. Instead of saying that, wow, when we live here, we'll also be strong, they said, wow, those people are very strong and we won't be able to defeat them in battle. Now, the facts are the same. The people in the land of Canaan were strong. But the question is, how do you interpret that? Moshe says they're strong because when you conquer them, because God is with you, you will also be strong. But the Jewish people who had the wrong set of glasses on, the woe is me set of glasses on, they looked at the fact that there were strong people there as a fact that they will not be able to defeat them. And onwards and onwards. And several other examples of the questions that Moshe gives to them. That is where this all hinges, is the facts remain the same. I'll give you one more example. Walled cities are unwalled cities. So they happen to be walled cities. So Moshe, well, we'll start with the people. The people said, oh, they have walled cities. They must be really strong and impenetrable. But Moshe wanted them to see the walled cities. Why? Because people who are really strong and confident don't need walls. Moshe was looking at walled cities as a weakness that the Jewish people would say, these people need walls to protect them. They're not confident. And yet the Jewish people sorted to the negative because they had a negative view of themselves and of the Almighty's willingness to help them. And so they come back with a negative report. And this is what I like to call the original fake news. Because they took the actual facts on the ground and they viewed them in the incorrect way. They drew the incorrect conclusion. And this night that they came back with a negative report, according to the Talmud and Tractate Tinus and other places as well, was the night of Tisha B'Av, the night when both temples, future in history and many other calamities, was going to happen. And why? Why was it that night? Because they set a pattern that they did not believe in the Almighty and they did not believe in themselves. And it led to a report of fake news that entered the Jewish people's consciousness like poison. And the whole people believed the 10 negative spies and not the 2 positive spies. And so the impact was that the Jewish people were crying all night, how could you give us such a bad land, Hashem? And at that moment, that was the decree that we were going to wander in the desert for 40 years, all because of fake news. No facts were, quote unquote, made up until the end when they really started slandering the Jewish homeland. But most of what they said was technically true. But it was fake news because they didn't know how to process and internalize and interpret the real facts on the ground because of their internal bias of not believing in themselves. Folks, there are so many applications in our own lives for this. How many times we enter a situation, I'll never get that deal. I'll never be able to get this project done. I'll never be able to get that job. I'll never be able to woo that person, or you fill in the blank. It's fake news because you have convinced yourself that you're not worthy. You have convinced yourself that Hashem cannot stand up for you and make it happen. I'd like to conclude with an absolutely fascinating historical analysis by Reb Elchanan Wasserman. May Hashem avenge his blood. He was killed by the Einsatzgruppen in his yeshiva in Europe, in the Vardik yeshiva by the Nazis. And he said something unbelievable. You know, there's something called a blood libel. There's blood libels all the time now. Where did the first blood libel come from? What was the source? Everything has its source in the Torah. So there's a fascinating statement that Rav Elchanan makes, and he looks back and he sees that Joseph and his brothers, the story of Joseph and his brothers, the brothers dipped Joseph's tunic in goat blood and presented it to Jacob, to Yaakov, as if he had died. And through blood, there was a deception that was totally off base. And since the brothers themselves used deception through blood, it opened us up spiritually through the rest of the history for blood libels, where people will accuse us of something absolutely ridiculous, of using Christian baby blood for our matzahs, when everyone knows that we can't consume blood. It's forbidden to us. It's one of the prohibitions of the Torah, but nevertheless, it still rages. Why? Says Rav Elchanan, is because we ourselves did the first blood libel. And therefore, we've opened ourselves up spiritually throughout the generations to be on the brunt of those other blood libels. And I would like to extend this to fake news. How much fake news has there been about the land of Israel? What Israel was doing since October 7th? That the Jewish people were somehow committing a genocide? That is fake news. That's fake news. It's not true. It's not true. Millions of tons of food have gone in there. Genocide. Worst genocide ever. Most unsuccessful genocide ever. The population of Gaza has increased over the last several years. Dramatically. Why? Because there was no genocide. Leaflets dropped. Text messages sent. Please get out of the building. Ahmed, get out of the building because we're going to blow it up. The worst genocide ever. I wish the Nazis had put such a genocide on us. Oh, Shlomi, get out of the building. Oh, we're going to kill it. No. They went and rounded everyone up. The Israeli army could have had a genocide in about a week and wiped out every man, woman, and child in Gaza. And everyone knows it. And it's fake news that there was a genocide. And it's ridiculous. Okay. But where was the origin of that fake news? Right here in the sin of the spies. Because when they said their negative words about the land of Israel, it opened up a spiritual pathway that others could do the same to us. And so I haven't seen anyone else make that extension of the idea of Rav Elchanan, but I hold that it is very true. And I think it's incumbent upon us to look deep into ourselves and to evaluate what is our relationship with the land of Israel. I'm not talking politics here, how you agree or disagree, but fundamentally that we should have a love for the land of Israel. We should have a firm stance that the Jewish people can and should defend ourselves. And we should not be the subject of scorn and abuse for a ridiculous claim of a genocide that never happened. And on a personal note, we need to look at our own set of glasses of how we view the world and ask ourselves, are our biases causing us to view the world with fake news? Or do we have clear glasses and lenses to see that the Almighty loves us and we are valuable and we matter and our decisions matter? And the Jewish people are here to stay. God bless. Have an amazing week with a clear set of Torah glasses. And God willing, we'll see you again back right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.